broadcasting from inside the Jim Butler Ballroom of the beautiful Mitzvah Hotel, KFAB and Twyla's Pack and Tack Shop is proud to present Drive Time Tonopah with your hosts, Faye and Brenda.
That was our enthusiastic announcer announcing correctly. This is Drive Time Tonopah. Thank you for joining us, everyone. I am the Faye Driver, and I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Brenda Boo. Hello, Brenda.
Hello, Faye. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm a little winded because I've been doing manual labor.
Well, if you'd get off the crack pipe.
Right.
I'm joking. KFAB bosses should disregard that and know that that's just
right.
A joke.
We don't want to have to do those peeing in a cup tests again.
No, but, you know, there's other ways to figure out if there's drugs in your system.
Oh, how's that?
You can take
by looking in the mirror and seeing what scary faces return your stare.
That, teeth, skin quality, and of course there's hair. Your hair will hold on to drugs for a long time.
I don't have that problem because I got rid of a lot of my hair.
Not all of it. Tell everybody what kind of hair do you got for yourself.
Well, I'm sporting a real mohawk. The kind of mohawk that not would be sporting.
So how long is the middle part? How many inches?
Well, can I move my head and look in the mirror? Stand by.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 3 inches wide, maybe 4 inches wide.
How far does it stick up off your head then?
Oh, well, right now, after being coiffed, I would say 2 inches.
And Mr. Anderson, what is his opinion of this coiffure?
Mr. Anderson has no opinion. I have to tell him that I got a haircut.
No.
After I get it done.
Not a...
And he goes, oh, your hair looks terrific.
That's not true. Not that severe of a haircut.
Well, actually, I don't know. I should ask him. I haven't got around to that yet. Can you hold?
Sure, go ask him. When did you get it done? Yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. And you were just coming off of several days of work, so you're in some kind of fever dream, and you said, I think I'll take it all the way down to my scalp. Is that it?
All right. Not sure if you heard that, but...
I heard you stop talking.
No.
What?
Mr. Anderson says my haircut is cool.
Okay. Excellent. Now, I was thinking when I saw the picture you put up that you two could shave each other's heads back and forth then.
Right. Because Mr. Anderson shaves his head to a cue ball baldness state.
He'd have to really be mindful of covering that up if he was living where I'm living this year. He'd be freezing to death.
Right. Well, I was working outside this morning, actually.
Could you feel it?
Not that cold, but I definitely feel like I've had an ice cube on top of my head.
It'd be like running around with your assless chaps on. Only
right.
On top of your head. Oh, that's dirty.
So what are we going to talk about today, then?
All right. I have another piece of news. This is the news section. So first news was your hair. Second news is I got my third speeding ticket.
Oh, I heard about this.
No, you didn't. It just happened. I haven't talked about it.
Well, a little birdie knows about it and put it out. So we found out about it last night.
Oh, on your show.
I believe it was a stoplight picture.
Yeah.
Running a red light ticket or something, or what?
Yeah, it was one of those cameras. It's in the same spot. It's on the interstate. I think it's just where it's transitioning from one speed to another.
Mm-hmm.
$75.
That's it? Boy, well, are you lucky.
Well, this is Iowa, right?
Right.
Yes, I think I was going to a job, and, you know, whatever job I did wasn't even enough money to pay for that ticket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so frustrating.
It is frustrating.
Now, you got to remember, though, now when you go by this place, that you can't speed.
I'm not even really quite sure where it is. It says on the ticket, but it really hasn't connected in my brain. I'm not that good with directions, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So... I know it's on the interstate. I know it's out by J Avenue. So, I don't know. I think it's where this people start kind of clumping up. And I always try to make, I don't know, actually, there didn't seem like there was any cars around me. I don't know, I can't make any excuse. I don't know why.
Well, how fast were you? What were you pegged at?
Speed limit was 55, and I was going 12 over.
That's got to be near a transition zone.
Yeah, like people are in the way, and I don't want to be right up on somebody's tail, so I'll get in another lane and then pass them because I like to keep a little bit of space betwixt us. That bumped me out. And then the husband started lecturing me about it, and I just wasn't up for it.
Right.
You're not going to shame me for this.
Good for you.
Because I didn't mean to do it. But so this is the last little thing, and it can lead into our other topics. It's not news, but, you know, you were on our Doc Talk show.
Right.
And I watched a documentary last night. It was called Second Life 2.0. Have you ever heard of that game called Second Life?
I have. I know about it. I have not ever participated in it.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it, too. For the listeners, what it is basically, it's like Sims, only it's even higher level Sims, I think.
Right.
And so there's these grown-ass people that are going on to this second life and getting so entrenched and involved with these personas that it's fucking up their real life.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I wanted to get your feeling on this. They featured three or four people, and one of them was a lady who was married and had children, met this guy, and they were having this affair online. And then they took it into the real world. They both started getting a divorce. The guy was from Calgary, actually.
Oh. Mm.
And he came down, and they were meeting and being with each other. And by the end of the documentary, it was over. Huh. Well, he moved to India, and then she was just this mess of tears. And then this other story where this guy was doing female child persona online, and his fiance couldn't understand why he was online for 16 hours at a time. I couldn't understand that either. But my question and my thought was, how much validity should people be putting into these second lives or these on life things, you know? Because, like, they also showed this lady, these two ladies, and they showed their avatars, and they actually met in Las Vegas, and their avatars were really sexy. And
oh yes.
And then when they met and you saw them in person, it was like, oh my god. The one lady was a black lady, very heavy set. She was trolling around in her basement most of the time, and the other one was just the white version of the black lady. What do you think of this in general?
I think it's a little bizarre. I think when I was younger, it's probably something I could have been found myself participating in, because I found it kind of interesting when I first heard about it, and that was probably 10 years ago. And people go so far as to, they create, like they buy clothes and real estate, and you can actually pay money and own things inside this second life, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy better avatars, you know, all kinds of things like this, which is very odd to me. The thing that I find most interesting and bizarre is that, what if you expended all the energy that you put into being that online persona,
mm-hmm.
instead of focusing it through your computer, that you actually did something in the real world?
Right.
How come people can't come and participate in the real world with as much energy as they do at these online places?
Because it's all fantasy, and they can get outside their real body and their real circumstances. And it's like people that drink or do drugs. I suppose it's just something to get outside their reality, because maybe they feel stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I participated on Facebook at one point in that stupid Farmville job.
Yeah.
Part of it was because two of my real-life friends here in Iowa. They live in another part of the state. They could come over, and we could chat while we were doing these stupid little things. So that was what the draw was. There was the draw to these people that I know. But at one point, it just, you know, finally clicked. I'm like, God, this is a ridiculous way to be spending my time, you know?
Right.
But it was alluring at first because it was like play money and you could look at it. But then it's just like, it's like, I can never touch this or feel this. And if I can't get on the computer again, it doesn't exist. I mean, it didn't take me all that long to figure out that this was a waste of time.
Right. Do you feel there's any correlation with this Second Life situation to the way we are with podcasting? Because I feel that this podcasting environment that we live in, this sphere or realm where we spend all this time making connections with people who are half the world away, and we do these shows and we put this stuff out there, and you know, some of us are slightly personifying our characters, like the Faye driver is a personification of the real me.
Mm-hmm.
Is there not a risk that we are doing the same thing as podcasters that these people in Second Life are doing?
I suppose so, because they had headsets and you could hear each other's voices, so that would be a similarity, or they were texting, which would be a similarity. For me, it's not. It's a means to an end, because when I'm face-to-face with somebody, like, I don't really have the inclination to get on my phone and tweet and whatnot. Like, when I visited you, when I visited Peter, when I'm with other people, I don't care to still be online. Sometimes I think these people who are still, even if they're face-to-face, they still have this compulsion to have this life that's just on the internet. I don't have that compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Well, I'm sort of feeling as though this podcasting stuff is taking me away from participating in the real world. And it's taking time away from me that is time that I could spend more effectively and be more productive. And I'm right now kind of seriously considering how much more involved I want to be in this podcasting realm, because this is a hobby. It started out as a hobby. It's more than just a hobby, but right now I'm kind of looking at feeling as though I don't have the time to spend on this hobby, which is a luxury in my life, and I feel that I need to concentrate my efforts on more important things.
If you gave up podcasting, what would you do with your time then? That time that you would normally sit here with me or do a live show or do your show by yourself in your car.
I would be pounding on walls, fixing my house, cleaning it. I'd be working on cars. I have a lot of fleet maintenance that needs to be done right now. I would be doing all kinds of things. I'm still dealing with my father and his affairs. I worked on that all morning, this morning. So I have many things that require more energy from me right now. Mm-hmm. And this is a weekend right now that we're recording. And Mr. Anderson and I don't get very many weekends together because of my work schedule. And we want to go do something and be together and go do some research and shopping and have some fun outside. Outside in the real world where it's cold and harsh.
Well, I don't mean to be bitter, but we didn't have to do this right now.
It's not about our appointment today.
Mm.
But I'm bringing the fact up. I don't know for myself if I'm going to be able to do the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage so much anymore. And I'm really seriously considering whether I can do Drive Time Tanopas for the next 6 months. So, you know, this could be the last Drive Time Tanopa for a little while. I need to make some really important decisions in my life right now. And Drive Time Tanopa is a low priority. It's not that it's not important, but something has to give. I have to give up somewhere. And, you know, this kind of stuff, this luxurious kind of stuff, is one of the things that needs to be considered, whether I can continue to do it.
Do you feel like you're reducing your podcasting because you feel like you're getting too close to people and that that scares you? Or is it really just about getting stuff done? It seems like, I've noticed personally with you, it seems like there's kind of, like, I go through these little periods every month where there's one or two days where I'll just kind of be a little manic. And not like a mania, I wouldn't call it that, but just everything seems to kind of be coming in on me and misinterpreting things. And why do you feel the need to be, because I've been around you. You're constantly moving. How much more do you think you can move?
I'm not moving hardly enough, if you ask me.
What are you trying to prove? Are you trying to prove something to yourself? Is there not a calmness in your mind?
The calmness comes to me when I feel like I've accomplished my chores.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have a happy and relaxed life. Honestly, I do. But when I find that if I'm sitting around and not accomplishing certain goals, then I feel like I've wasted my time and my life. I want to have a better, happier, more calm life. But I feel in order to achieve calm, I need to spend some effort on some certain things. Like, I want a nicer house. I know I sound like, oh, I got this reno and, oh, I'm just dreading it. It's going to be horrible. But I actually recognize that it's going to be a good thing in the long run. It's very important. It's going to increase the value of my house and the value of my quality of life. But I recognize right now that in order to have that final outcome of a nicer kitchen and a better life, I got to work right now. I got to put some energy in and work towards a goal. And if people interpret the fact that I don't tweet as much or that I can't put out a show as me trying to hide from people or that I'm feel like people are getting too close to my tender soul, my cold, hard heart. I'm trying to protect my cold, hard heart. That's not what's happening. All that's really happening is that I'm busy doing things to make my life better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a reflection against my Twitter followers or my good friends in Iowa. Hey, I gotta do stuff.
I know. I went out walking yesterday for 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
How many times did you fall down?
Not once. Yay for me.
You see, it's these kinds of important things that I want to be doing.
This is what I think, Faye. I'll give you the opportunity to psychoanalyze me momentarily.
All right.
Because you were witness to one of my spaz attacks earlier this week.
Yeah, okay.
Because I did want to talk about that, but this is what I see in you. Because I think I see this with this... the cohort that I live with.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy.
The enthusiastic announcer.
Your brain is just as messy and crazy as mine in a different way. So in order to calm your mind, you have to do something. And it's really not, it's not your physical space that you need to calm. It's your mind. That's what I think.
I don't know. I don't know about that. You sound like a bloody one of those Christian people. All you really need is Jesus.
Oh, my God, no. Please take that back.
No, come on. You need a clear and restful mind.
That's not what I meant. Please take that back.
Okay, I take it back.
I know with me that when I'm feeling kind of crazy in my head, I move because I can't stand what's going on in my head. So the physical distracts me from whatever's going on. So like when I'm walking around in the neighborhood when it's 5 degrees above zero because I can't go to the pool and burn off some energy, there's a lot of shit going on in my head. I mean, that was kind of like, I fucking got to move. I can't take this.
I think that's excellent, though.
Yeah?
It's kind of bad that your walks are brought on by a flailing mind.
Mm. Well, I've been working that out with swimming. Swimming is very calming and cathartic for me because I feel like it's almost, you know, I don't mean to sound so Freudian, but it really feels kind of womb-like when you get in the water. It's very, I feel like, just like a big sigh of relief when I come out of there. Just like, I can relax a little bit.
That's what exercise does, though.
Right.
This is why exercise is such a good treatment for stress, because it releases endorphins, it energizes your body, you're using your muscles. You should feel more calm after exercise. And that's why you wanted to go for a walk. Because you needed that. And I commend you. And I know you've been working very hard going to the pool, and you've been very committed to that. And I think you recognize that it makes you feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'm stronger. I have a lot more confidence. The next time we're in the same place, and if we want to walk Max, I won't be trailing behind or going into a flop sweat.
But I don't think that my brain is spinning and out of control.
Really? Can you give me... See, that was one of my topics. What's your inner monologue? Like, Eric is... His inner monologue, he does a lot of judging, right? He sees things and he puts it into his own spin and his own perception. My inner monologue is all about, love me, don't judge me. Very pathetic. Be my friend. So I try, in a lot of ways, not to judge constantly, because I'm hoping people will do the same favor for me. So do you have to run everything through your own experiences and your own filters? So you do judging. Like, you see things through a person who was told that they shouldn't be gay. So if you see a straight couple mooching in the line at a Costco, it pisses you off.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I have my own judgy self inside me.
Mm-hmm.
But do I have an interior monologue? I don't know. I'm constantly thinking about what needs to be done next.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm plotting and planning about, okay, tomorrow I need to do some laundry and vacuum the house. And are we going to need food for the weekend? What are we going to have for dinner? Where are we going to go?
Mm-hmm.
When am I going to get my tires on my car?
True.
I'm constantly thinking about strategizing about how and when to do things.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Do you ever have flashes of painful incidences that have happened to you in the past just pop up out of nowhere? Like a hurt that might have happened when you were a kid, or somebody who says, no, I won't go out and have a drink with you, even though you've put yourself on the line by asking me at this this gas station. Do stuff like that pop in your head very often?
No, hardly ever.
Really?
Only when I'm at my most self-reflective self.
Mm-hmm.
If I get the chance to sit in the backyard and have a drink or whatever, sit in a lawn chair, sometimes I will think of things. I was recently thinking about the death of my mother, and something happened somewhere. Either it was on TV or someone was talking about something on a podcast, and it caused me to consider my mother and her last days and what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a tender, soft moment there while ago. Had to have a little cry and thought about my mom. But she's been dead for 7 years.
Yeah.
So once every 7 years, I have a...
That's not true.
I have a melancholic thought. the things that dredge up for me are not painful things. Sometimes in my work, I think about situations that were traumatic. Like, you guys were talking about mistakes you made at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about mistakes I made at work, and they're just... some of them are quite horrendous. Well, not horrendous, but, you know, some things I regret, things I didn't do in my job.
Well, you have a lot of pressure. I don't know how you stand being kind of like on guard all the time. I feel like that might exacerbate your tendencies towards being an overachiever. Because, I mean, you've got to be kind of on the ready, and you're not on the ready for 8 hours. Sometimes you're on the ready for 12 hours. Uh-huh. And I know that you don't always sleep properly. Like, that's why I haven't done much today, because I didn't sleep very well last night. So when you said, can we do it earlier? It's like, I don't care. I haven't done a goddamn thing today. You know? But don't you think that it builds on itself?
I hope not. I don't think so, because one of my tenets in life is just to not dwell on things. So I don't see it as always being on the ready. I kind of see my work life as I'm hanging around until something bad happens. And then when something bad or significant happens and people need help, then I spool up into emergency disaster mode.
Maybe I'm projecting. My head is so chaotic that's why I have to have a job that's got a lot more routine to it, because I get overwhelmed. When I was talking to Wendy, and she was talking about how people see her and she looks real calm, but on the inside it's just, you know, not all the time, but, you know, things just fucking pop out of my head out of nowhere constantly. And it's annoying. And I'll talk to Eric about stuff and I'll say, this happened and it's really bothering me. And the next day I'll say, this happened, same thing. This happened, it's still bothering me. And he's like, well, just forget about it. I'm like, I can't. There's something in my brain that just, it makes it pop up constantly. And it's exhausting. So maybe you don't have that kind of brain.
You know, I was thinking about this a couple of days ago. I was trying to figure out why I like my job so much and why I do the things I do. And like why I enjoy my cars and driving them. I sort of figured out that I really enjoy being scared. I'm an adrenaline junkie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the notion that things could go terribly out of control and be very dire and disastrous. And that's why I like driving my cars and why I like working in a job environment that I am. Because, you know, I'll tell you, sometimes being a 911 operator is very scary.
Yeah.
And it's not always scary, but sometimes it will freak you out. You'll be going, what the fuck am I supposed to do about this situation? You have a little moment of abject terror, and then you come to your senses and you do whatever you can do to make the situation better and to get people help. And that's what's most electrifying for me.
Let me present this. So, say you were, when you had your accident with the deliverator, and it hadn't been a situation where you could have walked away and say your lung, one of your lungs got punctured, and would that change your idea about these adrenaline-filled things? Is it because you've always managed to walk away from everything, that nothing serious has ever happened?
No, actually, I had a very serious motorcycle accident where I had to go to hospital and I had broken ribs and
that's true,
broken fingers and broken collarbone, and I couldn't work for 3 months. And so I've had some pretty significant accidents, but
I forgot
it
about
just
that.
Taught me that the human body can endure all kinds of trauma. It didn't scare me a bit.
It didn't scare you at all?
Like, well, maybe at the time it did, but now I know I could drive a motorcycle into a wall at 60 miles an hour and
no,
live.
No, you can't.
Let's do it again.
Hey, no, you can't do that.
Well,
you might have been able to do it once, but you can't do it again.
I don't know. We'll see.
Jesus.
I was thinking, oh, maybe I should get back into flying again, because that is scary. Flying is scary. Maybe I could take up aerobatic flying or something and really scare the pants off myself.
You know what it is? I think you learned so early in life that life is a certain way and it's kind of fucked and scary things happen, and you willed yourself past that. And I've never gotten over those initial things, you know. Like, to me, stuff is still quite threatening. if you've seen yourself get through a lot of horrible situations, maybe that's where your confidence comes from. You're like, well, I got through that. I can get through this. And then it becomes a weird challenge for you.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I'm sure there's lots of things. I recognize that my attitude is completely irresponsible and bizarre. But I'm sorry, that's the way I think.
You don't have to apologize. I'm just talking. Just think it's interesting. If you and Mr. Anderson had decided to adopt a couple of kids or get a lesbian to have a baby for you,
right?
Would you feel the same way, do you think? Would you still be pushing things to the limit?
No, I wouldn't. This is the drag about being in a relationship. When you have a kid, you're in a relationship that you can never get out of. And when you get married or you take on a spouse, then you have to be responsible and you have to preserve yourself for your spouse because they need... They
love you.
They
the first
you.
Thing
they
is...
They want you to be healthy and you don't want to leave them in a lurch by driving your car off a cliff. I recognize that there is a certain amount of importance to me remaining alive and being a positive contributing force in my marriage, in my relationship. So, it causes me, occasionally I consider that.
Occasionally.
But honestly, not nearly enough, because I'm selfish.
Why do you think that is? It's because you're a man.
I don't know. Maybe it is because I'm a man. It's who I am. I just want to have as much fun as I possibly can have in this life. And this life is shitty. I see the worst side of people every day in my job, and awful things happen to people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hurt and destruction out there in the world, and I don't want to contribute to that, and I don't want to have any in my life either. I want to have the best out of life that I can get. So I'm just chasing it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to be irresponsible. I'm trying to experience as many things as I can in this world before I get snuffed out.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to bring it back to this podcasting thing, podcasting is something that I was curious about and was exciting and I wanted to try, and I started 5 years ago and I've done it and I've experienced it, and I'm not ready to leave completely, but I want to now experience something else in my life. So I'm going to reduce my energy in that on that side of my life and concentrate on other things because I want other things to happen for me.
Will you continue to depend on other podcasters to fill your ears, though?
Oh, sure. I'm not giving up listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not giving up podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I just might be taking a little breather and a break.
To rejuvenate?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. So, I want to give you an opportunity to berate me and expose my crazy. So, the other day, I got paranoid about some things I'd heard and saw on Twitter and shit, and I sent off a barrage of tweets to you. You're like, are we having a meltdown? What's going on? And I was having a bit of a bad day that day. So what were you thinking when you see me go through these little freak outs, I guess?
Right.
What do you think pops through your head?
You know, at first I was confused because I wasn't sure if I had done something because you were going on and on about a topic and mm-hmm. I was the outlet for your frustration or whatever you want to call it. And you just blasted me with all these private messages and I'm going, what is she talking about? Was I involved in a conversation that had something to do with this? And I was a little confused, and then I figured, oh, I know what it is. She's just having a little freak out session. That's when I tweeted to you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having a little meltdown? I'll say that I wasn't surprised by it.
That's good.
I do say, though, that I'm surprised that you seem to be having less and less of these kinds of experiences. What I see as you misinterpreting what people say, mm-hmm. and you misinterpret its meaning towards you. Or you interpret things that are not in any way directed at you as some sort of a remark or a commentary on you and whatever situation you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You used to do this a lot, a whole lot, way back when we were on Drive Time Tanopa Episode 1. But now you've really matured, I think. I'm very impressed and surprised at how you have changed your attitudes in the last couple of years.
I think that a lot of that has to do with making actual connections with people, because before I was just felt like I was on my own a lot, and I'm still on my own a lot because Eric's job and just how he does his life. You're going to think it's dumb, but you, all the guys on Lotsel, having that security of every Thursday night meeting up with them and then having you as my friend has really made me feel, I guess, more secure, even if it's not in my face. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes you feel, I hope that doesn't bother you, but it has a lot to do with you guys.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. It's important. We need to have these, you know, they're not exactly tangible things, but these friendships that we develop and these people we have in our lives that we can rely on. I fully feel that I can rely on you if I ever needed your help for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that we have these people in our lives. And I'm not the least worried that you think the way you do about me. I'm happy to be considered your friend and to be considered a touchstone for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear you say, you mentioned on a show, you think, what would Faye do? And that makes me very proud that you would consider what I would think in this situation and that you would do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's terrific. And that speaks to not only to what a good person that I am, but that I'm of value to someone, you know, well, to you, that makes your life better.
Mm-hmm. You definitely make
it. Thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I hope I give value, help bring some pleasure to you. You're not just always fending off crazy tweets.
Right. No, of course you do. And that's part of one of the reasons why I'm here doing this Drive Time Tanopa, because I do want to be with you and I would like to do more doc talks, but I'm not going to waste my time
there
sitting
it
my
is.
Ass in front of a computer screen watching this documentary. But, you know, that's because that's where I am in my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything against you.
Well, you know, when people have a birthday coming up,
Brother, don't.
No? I can't bring it up?
No, I'm not talking about my birthday.
Oh, you suck.
And don't send me a card. Nobody.
No, but
I don't have time for cards.
I already sent you your gift, so you can't get out of that.
Thanks, Brenda.
Thanks,
Brenda.
Thanks, Brenda.
Brenda.
Jeez, talk about.
Why would you want to be associated with someone like me who's so ingracious?
Ungracious? Not gracious?
Whatever.
Making up words on me. Because I don't believe it. That's what it boils down to. I don't believe that you don't like being fussed over. I don't believe that you don't like getting things in the mail. I don't believe it. That's why.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And that's why we're doing this right now. That's why I do the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, because we all want a little spotlight shined on us. Mm. I recognize that. I don't deny that.
No, but not even just being the center of attention. I just mean it's a very kind of German English thing to do, to be like, I don't need anything and I don't want anything and I'm independent, and you know, it's very much, I've seen it in my family, you know, don't buy me anything. But then I'll buy somebody something, and they're just like a little kid. It's just like, you just think you need to say that. It's not the truth.
Hmm. All right, well, you believe what you want.
Well, I'm not saying you wouldn't be upset if I just started sending you a bunch of useless junk. I know you would not like that. Like, Brenda, it doesn't fit in this fucking box. I don't want this. What do you, now I got to do something with this. That's not what I'm saying, because I totally get that. But if I send something that you like, you are all for that. Like, if I sent you a box of American cheese, man, you'd be all over that, right?
I would. And I should tell people, I don't know if people know this, because I don't think I talked about it, but Brenda Boo sent me, for my birthday, a die-cast metal version of my new car, the Manuel, the Porsche. So it's in a special box, and it's like a 1/8 scale or something.
I can't be 1/18th.
Scale of this Porsche, exactly the same color. It's almost a mirror identical version of my car, and I cherish it. It's right here beside me. So I do appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for that, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome. Now I'm getting emails from him all the time, of course. God damn, he buys one thing on the internet, and all of a sudden you're getting ads for fleshlights and what? No, no, not that. Gross. I was just trying to be funny. All right, well, the last topic I want to talk to you about is dreams.
Well, this is going to be very interesting, I think, given that we've all just been finished talking about our own reactions to life.
Mm-hmm. So, I asked you to do some homework. Did you come up with any reoccurring dreams that you have?
I did.
Oh, great. Let me hear them.
I wouldn't say these are reoccurring dreams, but these are the types of dreams that I have. Mm-hmm. I often have these dreams that I'm being chased.
Oh.
And that I have to get to a spot. There's a lot of running along tight ropes or narrow ledges in my dreams, and having to run or jump to get through a door or across a chasm, and that I'm being chased by some evil force.
Ooh.
Or that I have to fight off this bad person or bad thing. And then I have a lot of falling dreams too.
Ooh.
Or jumping. I have a lot of these jumping dreams where either I jump up and I feel like I've jumped so high that I'm going to fall so far on the downslope that I'm going to kill myself or break my legs or something like that. Those are the most common dreams that I have.
Wow. Do you get hurt in your dreams?
Not that I recall.
Yeah.
But there's always the notion that if I don't succeed, that I'm about to get hurt. Or I could be very significantly injured or damaged in some way.
Mm-hmm. Did you come up with any really weird dreams that you remember?
I don't have any weird dreams.
It's hard.
Well, those are all pretty weird. Like being chased by a Yeti-style monster, you know?
Oh, wow. Like an out-and-out monster, huh?
Yeah.
When you wake up, how do you feel then?
Apparently, I've cry out in the middle of the night too, so I have these.
Oh, like
Mr. Anderson wakes me up.
I used to scream in frustration in dreams, and it would come out. I don't have those as much anymore, but I used to have dreams all the time where I was pissed off in a dream, and then it would come out, and I would just be like, ah! And it was always, I was always frustrated about something.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear some of my reoccurring dreams?
Yes, sure.
I'll hold on to yourself.
Oh, dear, okay.
Okay. Since I haven't been able to go swimming, just this morning, I've dreamt about trying to get into and find a pool.
Okay. That's a very literal dream.
Mm-hmm. I'm always having dreams about trying to move and I have too much stuff, and I don't have anything to move the stuff in, like a car or a trailer. I've had hundreds of those.
Oh, wow. So you have too many encumbrances in your life. How do you like my dime store psychology?
I like it. I used to have dreams where I was always trying to get to a bathroom and take a dump, basically. And all the bathroom toilets were, like, covered in shit and flowing everywhere, and they're all broken. And I'd go in this giant kind of dorm-like building going from bathroom to bathroom trying to find someplace.
Ugh.
Gross. Anything on that one?
I can't. I'll have to think about that one.
I have had lots of dreams where I'm trying to get home and I have to go through a scary neighborhood and I'm like hiding behind buildings and in alleys, and then there's always like these gangbangers shooting around me, but I manage to like sneak and crawl and run and get through, and I never let myself get shot. I have those a lot. And I don't have these as much anymore, but I used to dream about Eric cheating on me constantly.
Oh, terrible.
And he'd be standing there, and he'd have an arm around two girls.
Oh, no. Eric, you horrible man.
And I'd say, I'm always screaming, half screaming. I can't believe you're doing this to me. What are you doing? And he'd always laugh at me, be like, what are you talking about? I'm not cheating on you. And there was two girls standing right there. And sometimes it wasn't girls. Sometimes it was guys.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going on about this gaslighting thing, too.
That's one of my big paranoia fears, really, is that people are going to tell me stuff and convince me of some reality. And I'm like, but that's not true. You know, that is a fear of mine. And the last,
do you have fear that you're going to get pegged for some crime? This is something that occurs to me sometime.
Oh, really?
In my irrational moments, I think, oh, so they're going to nail me for murdering that guy, and I'm going to have to go to jail.
Mm-mm. That, I've never thought of that. That's interesting.
Like, from all the naughty things I've done in my life.
I think it, I was going
to
say
that. I have to pay for this eventually, babe. We're just going to slap you with a death penalty.
I would love to hear if you ever wrote down all your sexual escapades in detail. My brain might explode. That's what you're talking about, being naughty?
Well, not necessarily just all sexual.
Mm. What kind of naughty things are you doing?
Well, I can't talk about it here.
Nobody's listening. It's just me.
No, just you and me. Yeah. Mm. How about this one? I have this happen to me a lot, is that you want to do something in your dream and you just can't move. Everything goes so slowly, as though you're stuck in a vat of molasses.
Now that's telling.
I have that dream a lot. I'm constantly unable to move my body.
I haven't had that one. If I have, it was a long time ago. I've had that dream where you're kind of in between awake and asleep, and your body feels real heavy, and you feel like I'm awake, but I can't move my arms and legs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've had that. So I'd say that my dime store interpretation of that is that you feel stuck in life.
Well, that's not unrealistic, actually. That could probably be very accurate.
I want to tell you about my last dream. I also have these dreams where I don't realize that I have a pet and I've forgotten about it and it's starving. And I go into an apartment and it's like a cat or a dog or a thing full of fish. I've had these dreams where I've had aquariums full of fish where they're just starving and I forgot about them and I have to feed them. I don't know what that means. And I used to dream about my cat, Boo Boo Kitty, that we had to give away because I was really allergic and I couldn't live with her anymore. Mm-hmm. And I felt a lot of guilt about it. When I lived with her, we moved a lot, and she clearly hated me, and it was just, and I used to dream about her showing up in my dreams a lot.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Some of your dreams are about your fear that you're not able to care for people, for other things,
mm-hmm.
and that you're concerned about your own safety and well-being. That's my dime store interpretation of your dreams.
Mm-hmm. I would guess that something very traumatic happened to you and you felt in danger. And that's why sometimes people who have bad things happen to them, they will try to regain power over it by recreating the situation in their life. So I would guess that something really bad happened to you that scared you, and now you go after that fear in order to conquer the fear that you once had.
I don't know. Come on.
I don't know.
Seriously?
That's what I've heard. I didn't make that. I didn't come up with that. I've heard that on TV shows.
I don't buy it.
Oh, well, I'm just repeating things. It's just conversation.
No, I know. Like, this is what I think about your situation, though. If I can just continue.
I'm sorry. Yes.
I think that we all have these kinds of I'm not worthy types of dreams. These concerns and fears that either we're going to be in danger, we're in some sort of danger, and we need to protect ourselves, or that we're afraid that we won't be able to protect ourselves, and that we're afraid that we won't be able to provide and look after others. But I think that's a normal, healthy human fear, because it drives us to be more successful and to be proper contributing members of society.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think your dreams are all that crazy or whacked out. I think it's a healthy person's reaction to our general daily lives. You shouldn't think you're such a freak.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think you are.
Oh, good. I've often thought that part of the reason I'm so imaginative and give people backstories is because my family in general, it's a Midwestern thing as well, but they're so tight-lipped, you know. You can go and visit them and not have seen them for 3 months, and the conversation will never get beyond the weather and blah, blah, blah. It's all very surface level. And so when I was a kid, there was a lot of quiet and not sharing and no advice. And it was just no talking. So I think I've just learned to fill in the gaps. And I always fill in the gaps with the worst case scenarios.
Right.
So if, you know, my dad says, oh, no news is good news for them, right? If you don't hear anything, everything's all right. And
right.
I don't like that.
You want to know. I know you always want to know everything that's going on.
I do.
I have a grumpy day and I'm snotty on Twitter and you go, oh, what's wrong? Tell me. I want to know. Did somebody say something mean to you?
Because I have a very protective nature. Like when if I hear somebody talking mean to somebody that I care about, it gets my hair up and I want to protect them. So if I think that somebody's being mean to you or something, or somebody's stomped on your toes, I want to be there. And if nothing else, just be a sounding board.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need that so much. I assume everybody does.
Right.
Well, I think that was a very interesting conversation. Is there?
Me too.
You too?
Me too, yes. Very interesting.
Okay. Well, the weather is here in Tonopah is cloudy and 55 degrees.
I do want to say, want to thank John Robinson from On the DF podcast,
mm-hmm.
formerly known as The Dark Forest. Ranger John, who always sends us little emails to our email address here at Drive Time Tonopah, which is fayandbrenda@gmail.com. If you have an interpretation of our dreams, or you want to give us your own two cents on anything we might have talked about here tonight or today on Drive Time Tonopah, send it on over to fayandbrenda@gmail.com. Or even better, phone directly into the Drive Time Tonopah, the Jim Butler Studios at 319-535-0266.
Yeah, there's a lot of cobwebs on all these things. I have to dust it all the time. The answering machine and the fax machine. Nothing's coming in.
Yeah.
You know, Calvin from Hello Waffles will enjoy our dream talk. He had told me once that he loves hearing about people's dreams. So,
right.
Calvin will definitely have to write us and tell us what he thinks about these dreams.
Right. We'll look forward to that, Calvin.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, till next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.